So good morning, everyone. I apologize for that little kerfuffle at the beginning. It's kind of my ongoing internal dialogue about not being, not looking right, not sitting on a cushion like a good Zen student, but having to sit in a chair. My apologies to Bokushu, because he said, how do you want to sit? And I said, just give me a couple of cushions. And then the moment I saw the cushions, I thought, that's not going to work, because my knees are not what they used to be. So here I am in the chair, and it's okay. I have to, as I went up to the altar and caught sight of those hyacinths, I just had to take a smell. They're incredible. It's beautiful perfume. Not everyone's favorite perfume, certainly mine, one of mine, really beautiful, so what a great, great altar, gift to the altar we have. And what an incredible week we've had weather-wise. Spring, summer, then we had cold rain and wind, and now we're back to this beautiful spring again. It's been a week of change, and that's sort of what my talk is about today. Spring, change, kind of flip-flops back and forth, kind of like my mind. Whenever I write a talk, it's like, how do I tie all this in together? And it generally works out. Anyway, I'd like to begin by reading a poem by Ryokan. Ryokan Taigu was a great Zen poet, a Buddhist monk who lived much of his life as a hermit. He actually kind of eschewed the kind of like role of monk and being anything special. He lived, as I said, as a hermit. And he was really known for his calligraphy and his essence of Zen in his writings. This one is called First Days of Spring, the Sky. First days of spring, the sky is bright blue, the sun huge and warm, everything's turning green. Carrying my monk's bowl, I walk to the village to beg for my daily meal. The children spot me at the temple gate and happily crowd around, dragging to my arms until I stop. I put my bowl on a white rock, hang my bag on a branch. First we braid grasses and play tug of war. Then we take turns singing and keeping a kickball in the air. I kick the ball and they sing. They kick and I sing. Time is forgotten. The hours fly. People passing by point at me and laugh. Why are you acting like such a fool? I nod my head and don't answer. I could say something, but why? Do you want to know what's in my heart? From the beginning of time, just this. Just this. Ryokan was known for acting the fool, playing with the children, getting pure delight out of just this. There's a koan, case 63 in the Book of Equanimity. Attention, Master Joshu asked Master Toshi, when a man who dies the great death revives, what then? Toshi replied, going by night isn't permitted. You'd better arrive during the day. So the great death in the koan is not referring to our physical demise, but the dropping away of body and mind. Seeing through our resistance, our barriers, our ideas and defenses, the notions and the ideas that keep us in delusion. The idea, for instance, that things will always be the same. Things as they are. Friendships will last forever. This house in Breezy Point will always be our home and the home of our children and our grandchildren. There will always be polar bears in the Arctic and blue whales in the ocean. So I've been feeling somewhat adrift recently. At the beginning of the year, a dear friend of mine died. And a few weeks ago, I had a nasty accident, which could have been much more serious than it was. And I'm actually very, very lucky. As a result of the fall, I had around 30 stitches and a fractured orbital bone. And as you can see, I had a great plastic surgeon. I was very lucky that day that I have very minimal scarring. But although physically I'm much the same, psychically and emotionally, I've experienced a shift. The fall and the hours following that fall were really pretty intense, not knowing exactly what was happening, CAT scans, that whole thing. And it just really brought my attention to how fleeting this life can be and how close we can be to not having this life. And the loss of my friend of 25 years has left a gap greater than I expected. I'm still not clear what's manifesting as a result of what's been occurring and what has occurred since the beginning of this year. And perhaps the fact that I'm turning 60 in a minute adds another dimension to what is happening, what is manifesting inside of me. Right now, I'm experiencing the perennial changes. Hopefully, you've all noticed how the city is once again coming to life, coming into bloom, the ornamental pear trees blossoming on a lot of the sidewalks. Depending where you live, I mean, on the Upper West Side, where we have ornamental pear trees in the middle of the road, in the median, the island. And outside my office on Broadway at 11th Street, the church there, there's this huge, huge magnolia tree that is just like waiting to, the blooms are there just waiting to spring open. And it's an incredible sight every year to be able to just walk outside and look at that. It's a magic. It's a magical time to be in New York. To stop, as Ryokan says, and just kick the ball, sing. When I'm in my adriftness, my haze, I'm not paying attention to what is in front of me, right in front of me. And this points back to the koan. Going by night isn't permitted. So basically what he's saying is, we can't stay in the dark. We have to go forth by day. Let everything drop away. Body, mind. In light. When we're shrouded with our, I'll use that word again, delusions, when we're shrouded with ideas and this is the way it's supposed to be and we're all kind of insular, we're in the dark. That's not what it's about. When I noticed drinking that water, thinking of those magnolia blossoms again as I'm looking around the room, just awake. When I'm adrift, I don't see any of that. Just, I'm in the dark. Most of you know what I do for a living, and I love caregiving. Early in my life, I was a caregiver to my mother for various reasons, and then for much of my life, I was not caring for myself or anyone else. And in the last 15 or so years, my life has taken a big turn, since I came to the Zendo, and prior to that, when I started this practice, my life took a turn towards caregiving, caring for others. It demands I pay close attention to what I've written. It demands I pay close attention tucking someone's feet under the blanket, bringing them ice chips because they can't swallow anymore. Being with their breathing. Being in relationship allows me to come out of my compartmentalization, that haze, this practice is a way for me to allow body, mind to drop away. Being with what right is in front of me. Just this, as Ryokan says. And what about when everything changes? And we think we'll never survive. Imagine the joy of parents during their pregnancy, all the dreams, hopes, plans for the child, college, wedding, grandchildren, and then a birth defect, a complicated delivery causing lack of oxygen flow to the brain. Everything changes. Last week, I made a site visit to a children's home about an hour outside of the city. The children there are all severely compromised, some receiving post-acute care, which eventually will allow them to go home. Others will stay there until they die. The children are receiving incredible care from really dedicated pediatric palliative care specialists. These are children whose parents are unable to undertake the mammoth task of caring for them at home. It's just too complicated. Imagine a mother and father having to make the decision to place a child in such a facility. Not what they had imagined before it all changed. As I entered the place, I noticed immediately the shift in me. The shift from, oh, my life sucks. I'm depressed. I'm getting old. I don't know what to do. Why am I doing this job? It shifted into, this is my life. in this moment, this is my life. I can hang my monk bag on the branch, right? And everything that goes with it, just be here. Nothing special. And in that monk bag, all the ideas of how things should be. Nothing changing for the worse. This for me at that moment, arriving in that facility, was the moment that everything fell away for just a moment. Tearing up at the sight of a 6-year-old boy with limbs so badly deformed, it was impossible to figure out how to untangle his arms and legs for the simplest things like bathing and toileting. Children in wheelchairs with trachs to help them breathe. These children smiling, happy to see a new face, and curious, alert, alive, noticing. A mother walking down the corridor to a helpless child who will not reach adulthood. She carries a bowl of cereal. She looks at me. She smiles. And she says, "Good morning. Beautiful day. Spring is here. God's bountiful gift to us all." This is from Ryokan's poem. I could say something, but why? Do you want to know what's in my heart? From the beginning of time, just this. Just this. The koan. Attention! Master Joshu asked Master Toshi, "When a man who dies the great death revives, what then?" What then? Let it all drop away, body and mind. Be here now, the ever-changing now. I'll finish with this. I'll call it a gatha. Spring in New York, pear and magnolia in bloom. Consumers on West Broadway, frantic to buy the latest anything before it's out of season. And on the banks of the Hudson River, a 6-year-old boy tilted to one side, maybe I'll start again. I'll take a drink, suppress all the feelings. Cigarettes used to do that, now it's water. Spring in New York, pear and magnolia in bloom. Consumers on West Broadway, frantic to buy the latest anything before it goes out of season. And on the bank of the Hudson River, a 6-year-old boy, tilted to one side, eyes rolled back in his head, strapped in his wheelchair, hears, sees, smells the cherry blossoms.